All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. I want to do something tonight that's just a little bit unusual, a little different from what I normally do on a Sunday night. Normally, I have 3 points in a poem, but I want to just do a little practical Bible study with you. I want you to see something tonight. You know, everywhere you look, everybody's having a hard time. Have you noticed that? I mean, everywhere you look, it's this, it's that. You know, the devil just, he knows he has but a short time, so he is busy. And we talk about, I talk about all the time, how the Bible is our answer. And so I want to show you tonight how you can practically use the Bible to help you with the trials and the troubles and the problems and all the rest that we are all facing in these last days. Certainly, the Lord does not want us to be defeated or discouraged. The Lord does not want us beaten down all the time. But that's exactly what the devil tries to do, is just keep us discouraged and keep us down and depressed and all the other D words that you could come up with. That's what he does. He's just the devil, all right? Just about every word in the English language that starts with D has the idea of down. You think about it. All right, so look at Psalm 1. This is the opening psalm, six little powerful verses. But I want to read the first couple of verses here, all right? Look at verse 1. We see the word blessed, all right? Blessed. We know from the Bible's built-in dictionary that in the scriptures, the word blessed means happy. Happy. That's what blessed means. It means happy. So look at it in this light. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Boy, that's a crowd, isn't it? Huh? I mean, look at that. You got the ungodly, you got the sinners, and you got the scornful. All right, and notice what's connected to them. First, we have the word walk. All right? So if you will not walk with them, you can be happy. But it gets worse. The next one is standeth. If you don't stand with them, that's how you become happy. You stand for the Lord. And then thirdly, notice, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, so if you want to be happy, then don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and don't sit with them. That ought to be clear. All right? So happy is the man. But now look at this second verse. This is what I want to focus on. All right? The first verse is kind of presented as the negative, but then in verse 2 we see the positive. But his delight, now we're talking about the blessed man, all right? The happy man. So blessed is, And then here's his heart. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he, what's the next word? Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on meditating in the Word of God. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about all this spooky stuff and you sitting on a mountaintop somewhere in short pants, freezing cold weather with no shirt on, and you know, your hair frozen and all the rest of that, sitting bowed-legged and your thumb sticking up in the air. All right, I'm not talking about that kind of meditation. That's foolishness. All right, what I'm talking about is the word to meditate means to think, to dwell upon, to absorb, to just take in. That's what it means to meditate upon something. You sit and you think and you dwell and you learn from the Lord. That's meditating on the Scripture. All right, so look at the verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us, and then I want us to look tonight at how to meditate on the Scriptures and get enriching benefits out of the Bible. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together. I pray, thanking you for the music and thank you for the testimonies. Lord, we realize that we need your blessing and your help, and you have provided us with your word to enable and help us as we deal with life's issues. And so, Father, I pray tonight you'll bless and help me as I speak. Help me to get the point across and to enable folks to be able to just take the Word of God and get the victory instead of being the victim. And so, Lord, give us something tonight that will stick with us and be a blessing to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, blessed is the man, and then his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, folks, we need to understand right off the bat here that it is the Word of God that the psalmist here is speaking about. When he talks about the law of the Lord, he is talking about the Scriptures, all right? He is talking about how the Scriptures will help you as a Christian, as in your daily life, in your daily walk, and the Scriptures are what moves us closer to the Lord. And that's why I challenge you all the time. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Love your Bible. Learn your Bible. And if we do learn God's Word, then the Lord uses His Word to help us to be delighted. All right, it says blessed. Well, here's how you can be blessed. Delight yourself in the Word of God. I mean, pick a subject. I don't care what subject you pick. All right, let's say that you have an anger issue. All right, let's say that you have a temper and it's difficult for you to control that temper you have. All right, now here's what you do. You get in the Bible and you find you, and here's how you find him. You just look up in the concordance of your Bible whatever it is that you need help with. All right? Anger, look up anger. Fear, look up fear. All right? lustful thoughts. Look up lust. No matter what it is, there is an answer in the Word of God. I've said to you many, many times through the years that this Bible is not all that God knows, but it is everything that God wants you and I to know. This is His Word, and He has provided all that we need in order for us to have a right relationship with Him. Now, blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. All right, so here's what you do. You find something in keeping you from being the Christian that you would like to be. Anger, your thought life, your temper. I mean, there are so many areas, and you know yourself, and then you get a concordance and you look up 4 or 5 verses in the Bible. Some of them will no doubt be in the Old Testament. Some of them will be in the New Testament. And then what you do is sit down with your open Bible and you write down those verses that you've looked up. If you can't find verses for what you need, then email me or call me and I will find some verses for you. All right? They're there. But it would be better if you looked for them. That way you're in your Bible, you see, and you're getting familiar with your Bible. You see, folks, when I don't know, I've had so many people say, Pastor, I wish I knew as much Bible as you do. Well, listen, when I got saved at 16 years of age, my pastor shook his red Bible at me, R-E-D, red. It was red in color. And he shook that red Bible at me, and he said, now you read your Bible every day. And I said, yes, sir. And so I went home, and I started reading the Bible. And I haven't stopped. It's been all these years now, and I have not stopped reading the Bible. I read it for my own edification. I read it for your edification. I read it to enlighten me and to help me and to challenge me and to stir me, but also read it and study it so I can stand up here and explain God's Word to you as my sheep. All right? Just spoon feed you the Word of God. And so that's the job of a believer. You start with the book. You start with the Bible. You say, well, I have a hard time reading the Bible. You can't. You can't have a hard time reading it. Now, First Chronicles 1 through 11, I could see you might stumble a little bit. You know, all them names. You know, if you go back to Genesis and you start reading about who begat who and who begat who and all that, I can understand that you might get little bogged down. All right, but listen, that's a neat thing about the Bible. There's hard stuff and there's easy stuff. All right, let me show you what I mean. Hold your place here. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. All right, John chapter 1. And I'm going to show you just how easy the Bible is. Everybody says, oh, it's so hard to read the Bible. Well, let's see if it is. All right, let's just see if it is. Look at chapter 1. Everybody there? All right, what's the first word? Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Huh? In? Oh, my. Well, I wonder what that means. It means in. In the beginning. Oh, there's a big word, isn't it? Beginning. In the beginning. I've read three words, and two of them are one-syllable words. And you think the Bible's too hard for you to read? You're listening to the devil spoon feed you a lie. It's not. Look at the next one. In the beginning, there's that hard word again. Don't stumble over it. Keep going. In the beginning was one syllable. The, one syllable. Word, one syllable. And, one syllable. The, one syllable. Word, one syllable. Was, one syllable. With, one syllable. Are you struggling? Huh? Now, how many of you went past, let's say, the fifth grade? Raise your hand. You went past the fifth grade. Tommy, you didn't? No? All right. If you went past the fifth grade, then you should have no trouble reading your Bible. I mean, it's not difficult, folks. You say, well, I was reading the other day in Ezekiel. Well, maybe you didn't understand everything that was going on. Why don't you start with the first chapter of John? Because I'm telling you, it's real easy to understand, as you just saw. All right? Look at the next verse. The, one syllable. Same, one syllable. Was, one syllable. In, one syllable. The, one syllable. Oh, boy, wonder what that next word means. Begging, begging, beginning, beginning. No, we know what that is, don't we? Beginning. And we know what the beginning is. The beginning is the start of something. All right? So, in the beginning. Someone said that's the first baseball game mentioned in the Bible. In the beginning. All right? Ha, ha, ha. Then you have the word with, one syllable. God, one syllable. Do you see the point, folks? I mean, the Bible is not difficult to understand. The problem is we don't read it enough to get familiar with it so that we don't stumble when we read it. And so read the Bible. You don't have to become a PhD in biblical eschatology in order to read the Bible. You can know your Bible, and even if you didn't even get out of John chapter 1, you've got enough doctrine right there in that first chapter to keep you busy for a couple of years. But our problem is we don't read the Bible. We just don't read the Bible. All right, now, God, here's the thing. All right, what's the word we're focused on in Psalm 1, verse 2? Meditate. Do you realize, folks, that God never, one time in the Scriptures, commands us to read the Bible? He doesn't. Here's what he tells us to do. You ready? Study. Study. That's what he tells us to do. It's a wonderful thing when we realize the importance of just studying the Word of God. All right? Let me see. Uh, Go turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And here Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, notice something here, folks. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. Right there's the definition of study in your Bible. What is study? It is self-work. Do you see that? Your study is self-work. That's you sitting down. You say, well, I'm just going to come and let Pastor tell me what the Bible means. No, study it yourself. Let God show you. Let God show you. And I think if you will sit down and approach the scriptures in that light. All right, so let's take fear. All right, people say, I just walk around all the time with all these fears in my heart. Why? You say, well, I don't know why. Well, can I tell you how to get rid of your fears? Oh, yeah, I can get rid of my fear. Sure you can. Just like you can get rid of anger. Just like you can clean up your vulgar mouth. Yeah. Yeah. Christians should not be going around cursing like the world does. It's disgusting. And, I've said many, many times, but any idiot can curse. And that's true. Any moron can curse. But it takes somebody that's got some sense to be able to put the words in the English language together to make a point. All right? So take whatever issue you want. Get you 4 or 5 note cards. Sit down. Write out 4 or 5 verses that have to do with your problem. Let's say it's fear. Then get you 5 verses that have to do with fear. Well, where do I find that? Look it up in your concordance. And if you can't find them then, just let me know and I'll write down 5 verses for you so you can look them up yourself. And then we study. What self-work. What's that? That's where you sit down with those verses and you read them and pray over them and memorize them, and you're sitting there meditating upon the verses that you have written down. You say, well, what's the point of that? Here's the point. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the point. You see, that's how we grow. And that's how we meditate upon the scripture. We allow the word of God access to our souls. And it becomes cleansing. That's what the word of God does. David said that the word of God was like water to his soul. Yeah, it's water to your soul. It sure is. Look at Go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, back in your Bible, chapter 1. Chapter 1. All right, so here's Joshua now, and he's getting ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land. All right, so he's got about probably 3 million people or so, and he's got to take them into the promised land. Hey, I want you to know, I think Joshua needs some help, don't you? Yeah. Oh, by the way, so do we. So do we. All right, so look, please, at verse 8. God says to him, well, look at verse 6 first. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, especially to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now watch verse 8. This is awesome. This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what? Meditate. There it is again. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, folks, look at that little word right there, success. This is the only time the word success is mentioned in the Bible. Yeah. And what's it connected to? Meditating on the scriptures. Meditating on the scriptures. Folks, if God promises us that when we are meditating upon his word, that we will then become successful in our Christian life, why in the world would we not want to read the Bible? I mean, I would think that we would want to meditate and to study and all the rest for the Bible, so we can get it into our hearts and into our souls. All right? So that's a pretty good admonition, isn't it? All right, and let me show you one more. All right, this time go over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. All right, there are 14 verses in this little psalm, and there is a 3-point outline that I want to give you. Number one is in verses 1 to 6, and that's a revelation of God. A revelation of God. This tells us about God and who he is and what he's going to do. And then secondly, in verse 7 through verse 10, we have a revelation of God's word. That's verse 7 through verse 10. And then, verse 11, through the end of the psalm, we have a revelation of man. So in other words, God tells on us. He tells what we are. All right? Now, look, please, at verse 7, and let's look at the revelation of God's word. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. All right? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So the law of God converts the soul. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So the Bible being shared with you in a soul winning plan, being preached to you in church, being preached in a revival meeting somewhere, and you hear the Bible, maybe mom and dad sat down with you and explained how you could trust Christ as your Savior. I don't know how you were spoken to by God's word, but it was God's word that drew you to the Father. All right, so thank God for that. So we have the law of the Lord. Now, this law converts the soul. Then secondly, notice the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So simple people become knowledgeable, wise. David said as a young man, I have more understanding than all my teachers, comma, because I fear thy word. All right, so it's the Bible. It's the Bible that makes a difference. The law of the Lord converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, let me ask you a question. Which would you rather try to go to sleep by? A righteous living day or a heathen living day? Huh? Yeah, righteous any day of the week. Which would you rather wake up to? A righteous day. Sure. Sure. So the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, the Bible has a way of giving us exactly what we need. All right, so go back now to this verse 7 and look at that word, soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You see, folks, the soul is the real you. It's who you are. Every person is a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, before you're saved, your spirit is dead. Ephesians 2:1. And what you need is for the Lord to make alive. All right? He gives life to the spirit of a man. In other words, you get spiritual life in you. And it is that spiritual life that we use to have a relationship with God. Let me say it this way. You are looking at my body. You are listening to my soul. The real me is speaking to you. This body is nothing more than a house for my soul. What is death? It is the separation of the soul from the body. And that's why God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And the soul of a man is eternal. It never dies. The body might die, unless the Lord comes back and we're that generation that gets to skip physical death. Man, I hope I'm in that crowd, don't you? But if the Lord doesn't come back, then physical death, all of us have that appointment. All right? But when you got saved, there was a part of your soul. You see, what the soul is to the body, the spirit is to the soul. The soul lives in the body. The spirit lives in the soul. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, your soul, according to Ephesians 2:1, your soul is quickened. It's made alive. All right? And thank God for the Word of God, because here's what the Word does. The law of the Lord, the Word of God, is perfect. And it is converting the soul. What's your soul? All right, watch me now. Your soul is your mind. That's how you think. It is your will. That's how you choose. And it is your emotions. That's how you fall apart. All right? That's how you fall apart. Oh, mind, all right, that's your thought processes, it's your thinking, all right, your mind, your will, all right, and your will is the choosing part of you, and then, so mind, will, and emotions. So when you get saved, the Word of God is what converts the soul. In other words, the Word of God comes in and it gradually cleanses your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you grow as a Christian. But notice it starts in the Word of God. We must start in the Word of God. And as we are in the Bible, then we are growing. You say, well, Pastor, how do I convert my soul? Well, let's use the mind, will, and emotions here for just a moment. All right? And this is the heart of what I wanted you to get. The mind. Here's how you convert your mind. You read this Bible and you think like God thinks. Isn't that awesome? You think like God thinks. You know, a few years back it was, what would Jesus do? You know, everybody was focused on that. Well, how do you know what Jesus did? You got to know your Bible. Yeah. And so How do you convert your mind? You memorize, you learn, you meditate upon the scriptures. And you get God's word in your heart, in your soul. All right? In your mind, then your will, then your will. You say, well, how's this part work, Pastor? Well, you choose to do the right thing based on what you learn from this book. All right? You grow, you learn, and then all of a sudden you start behaving like the Lord would behave. I mean, how many times have you shocked yourself since you got saved? You know, something happened, and instead of reacting like you did back in your BC days, all right, that's before Christ, now all of a sudden, you just shock yourself and you go, wow, what was that? Well, I'll tell you what it was. The Word of God's converting your will. That's what it is. And it just keeps on converting your will. And then thirdly, your mind, your will, this is your soul now, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your emotions. Can I tell you how to apply this? Personalize the scripture that you are meditating upon. Personalize it, all right? Let's flip over to John 3:16 real quick. Everybody knows that verse. John chapter 3, and I'll show you what I mean by this. All right, look at verse 16. John chapter 3. And here's how you personalize this. You're sitting here reading the Bible. For God so loved me. Boy, that'll hit you a little bit different than for God so loved everybody, for God so loved the world. No, he loves me. All right? For God so loved me that he gave me his only begotten Son, that if I believe in him, I'm not going to perish, but I am going to have everlasting life. You have personalized the scriptures. And boy, when you start personalizing the scriptures, you just immediately begin to see how much of the Bible was written with you in mind. Well, that relates to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's a way to read the Bible and grow in so doing. And what's the result of this meditation thing, just sitting down and reading a portion of scripture and then seeing it in your mind? What's the Lord saying here? Can you picture Nicodemus? I have an idea what Nicodemus looked like in my head. Yeah. I don't know why, but he's a little skinny. He's a little tall in my mind. He's taller than some of the other Jewish guys. You know, they're not real big people. And I can just see him. I think he had one of them great big white beards. Oh, he looks so important. You know, so scholarly. And I can just picture him, and I can see the Lord Jesus standing there talking with him. and tears in our Lord's eyes, trying to convince this man that he needs to be a believer. And then it just becomes real to me. It's not something that is just words on a page. No, I can see Nicodemus in my mind. Folks, he was a real guy. He had a soul just like you, just like me. And the Lord loved him just like he loves you and just like he loves me. And so when you visualize the scripture, all right, then you're getting a mental picture, and then you can put yourself in that situation, personalize the scriptures, all right? Now, what are the results? Number one, fellowship. Fellowship with your Lord. Because right here is where you're going to fellowship with God. That's right. In the Bible. Let's look for a moment at Psalm 119. Let me read this and make the application and I'll be done. I'm certainly not finished, but I'll be done. All right, Psalm 119, please. And I want you to look over at verse 99. All right, let's go back and get 97. Watch this. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my what?" Isn't that funny? I mean, David kind of saw the importance of meditating on the scriptures, didn't he? You know? "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me," what? "Wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." And then he said, as I mentioned a moment ago, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." How about that? I understand more than the ancients. All right, and he's not talking about anything other than the old people. "Because I keep thy precepts, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." There are so many benefits to learning the Word of God. And one of the best benefits is you know the difference between right and wrong. Yeah. You know the difference between right and wrong. And that comes from meditating upon the scriptures. So folks, I hope with all my heart that you will get in the Word and find verses that have to do with whatever is bothering you. All right? You say, "Well, Pastor, I worry too much." All right, then look up the word fret. That's a good southern word, isn't it? Fret not. All right, fret not. and just write those verses down. Memorize them. And then every time the devil comes and throws whatever it is he's trying to trip you up with, you just start quoting those Bible verses to him. And if you resist the devil, he will what? Flee. He will flee from you. Oh, may God help us. By the way, folks, worry is assuming responsibility God never intended you to have. That's true, isn't it? All right, so that's meditating on the scripture. You see, here's the neat thing. You know, you start thinking about the scripture. You're reading it. You're growing. All right, you start growing in the Lord. The Holy Spirit then uses the word to help you grow. It's God's power upon you, just like it was with Joshua. And what happens is you start to replace the fear, the worry, the lust, the whatever, all right? You just start replacing it with the Word of God. And man, what victories are out there. All right, let's pray together. Let's pray together. I hope this helps you tonight. I hope this helps you in a great way. Just encourages you and in your Christian life, stirs your heart, stirs your soul. Father, thank you for the word, and I pray that you will help us to realize the importance of being in the word of God on a daily basis. And Lord, it's so easy for us to just let day after day after day go by without sitting down with an open Bible and meditating, studying, self-work, just working ourselves in the Word. And so, Father, give us a burdened heart for knowing and studying and learning the Word of God. And I pray that you'll speak to every heart in here, Father, regardless of what we do for a living, regardless of how old we are, regardless of how long we've been saved, the Bible can turn us around and give us that confidence to stand for you. Lord, we don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't want to stand with the scornful. We don't want to sit down and have their influence try to steal away the truth of God that's in us. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. So bless your word tonight and stir our souls with it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.